My name's Michelle Owen and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 20th of August 2009. The time is 5:25 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you come from, please?
My name's Catherine McGowan. I'm 37 years old and I come from Eastleigh in Hampshire.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Can you remember how you first heard about this project?
Yeah, it was on the front row on Radio 4, probably back in May when it was first being talked about, and I immediately thought I'm going to apply for that. So,
why is that?
So I followed the Fourth Plinth project since it started in 99 or whenever it was, and I just thought it was a really interesting opportunity to be involved in something I've been interested in for all that time. So I'm familiar with the whole thing, Fargo Square and things, so I thought opportunity not to be missed, really. So
was there anything specific about One Another project that appealed to you?
Yeah, I get, well, opportunity to see Trafalgar Square from a different perspective, I guess. I've walked around it so many times and looked up at things on the Fourth Plinth, so the opportunity to reverse that and be up there looking down was an interesting one. So,
before we started the interview, we were talking about your previous jobs. You used to work down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes, I worked, well, I still do work as a patent attorney, and I used to work for a company that had an office on Buckingham Street around the corner from Charing Cross, so I used to get to come to Trafalgar Square a lot, which is how I got to see some of the early Fourth Plinth sculptures, so that was nice. Yeah, I still work as a patent attorney, but I'm in an office down in Southampton now, so I thought to come up for the day to do this instead.
So what prompted the move to Southampton?
I was headhunted by a company that has an office in London and in Southampton, because of the area that I work in, and my family's originally from down in Southampton, so it seemed a good opportunity to go and live closer to them and move out to London, because I love the place for visiting, but I don't really like living here. So that was a nice opportunity that I couldn't say no to. So,
tell me a bit about being a patent attorney. What does that actually involve?
It's kind of a cross between being a scientist and being a lawyer. So my background is physics. And patent attorneys are people who liaise between people who've invented things and the patent office that issue patents to protect those inventions. So you write an application that describes someone's invention and you send it to the patent office on behalf of the inventor, and then you basically argue their case for them with people at the patent office to persuade them that the invention's really good and that they deserve to have a patent for it. So it's kind of half scientist, half law, so it's very interesting. So I get to meet lots of interesting people and learn about all their new inventions. So yeah, so it's good fun. So I get to do a lot of writing, so that kind of we do more writing than most scientists would probably do, I think, so I quite like to do that rather than actually doing real science. It's kind of nice to write about other people's science things. So
did you know what you wanted to do when you came up, having done your physics degree?
Not my first undergraduate degree. I did my PhD with a friend who was going off to become a patent attorney, and it was a bit contagious, and there was about four or five of us in my research group that decided that's what we wanted to do, and our poor supervisor lost half of his students when we graduated. We all ran off to be patent attorneys. It was around the time when it was starting to get really difficult to get funding for doing scientific research, so we all thought we'd go and get real jobs instead, so it was a bit more stable and less hard work, but more of a guaranteed good income. So.
And what about now, in the current climate? If that research wasn't funded, would you be going to study?
I would be thinking very long and hard about it. I don't know what the situation with PhD funding is. I suspect doing physics, it's possibly fewer places, but I suspect the money per place is probably still quite reasonable at PhD level, but I don't know if I would be going to be an undergraduate now, to be honest. It's the debt's just a bit too daunting, really. I don't think it's a very good start in life. So,
where else did you grow up?
All over the place. I was born in Canada, and my parents came back to Britain when I was 10 months old, and I've never had the chance to go back, unfortunately, so that's still on my list of things to do. Then we lived in Hampshire for a while, then Lincolnshire, Berkshire until I was about 7. Then we moved to Wiltshire, where my parents still live. And then I went to Scotland for 8 years to do university, so then came to London and then to Hampshire, so I've been round and about the place.
Are you hoping to stay in Hampshire?
Yes, I've been there for 8 years now, so I think we'll be staying put for a wee while at least. So.
What were your parents doing in Canada?
My dad was a cartographer. They got married in the mid-60s and went out there straight after they got married. I forget the name of the company he worked for, but it was like Canada's big map-making company, I think.
Sorry, there's a bit of helicopter noise going in the background. Sorry, tickle.
He worked for Canada's main map-making company, I believe, and he used to get sent to various exciting places to make maps for them. He previously worked for the Ordnance Survey in Britain before he went to get a job there. They got sent to live in Trinidad and Tobago for 6 months and things like that. So he's been to Ecuador and Iran back in the days when it wasn't quite so dangerous, I think. And then he decided to come back when the business started to get quite computerised, and my dad's a bit more arty than computery, so he didn't like it getting a bit too technical, so he decided to leave. And then they came back to Britain, and he wanted to go to art school, but he couldn't get funding because he'd been out of the country for too long. So even back then, it was hard to get money sometimes to go to university. So he's a potter now. He started doing, instead of going to art school to do pottery, he just went to work for different people and trained that way. So I actually got one of his pots with me today. He wanted me to take one up on the plinth and take its photograph while I'm up there. Yeah, it's a vase. It's about 8-9 inches tall, I would say. Painted blue and white with birds and trees and leaves and things on. So couldn't take anything too big up there, obviously, but I didn't want to take anything too small. So he chose it for me and brought it over the other weekend and said, "I want you to take this up for me." So I guess he thought it was a unique bit of publicity for him as well. So
he trained on the job?
Yes, yeah. I think quite a lot of potters do that. So you either go to art college and learn it there, or you go and sort of do almost an apprenticeship with other people, and then you work on your own in your garage for a while until you get well enough known to make a proper living out of it. So for most of my childhood, he did it part-time and sort of had other jobs to actually earn enough money to support the family. So he took it up full-time, I don't know how long ago, 20 years ago maybe. So he's just retired now. So. He had a reasonable stint at having a full-time living as a potter. So,
what are you going to do on the plinth?
I'm going to take photographs. I used to come and take photographs of some of the early sculptures that were up there, so I thought it was a really nice opportunity to kind of role reversal, to take pictures looking down instead of looking up. So there's so many interesting things in Trafalgar Square, everything is going on, and the sculptures and the beautiful buildings and things that I don't think I'm going to run out of subject matter, so just hoping that the sun stays shining for me, and I'm pleased it's not raining.
Have you always been interested in photography?
On and off, I guess. My dad's a very keen photographer, so I've always been, cameras always around the house and things, but my childhood was probably more being fed up with waiting for him to take photographs whenever we went anywhere, so as the child of any photographer will tell you, it makes life a bit boring when you're five. but it did mean that I had cameras of my own when I was quite young, because I'd get given cast-offs from my parents and things to play around with. I'm just a complete amateur hobbyist. I wouldn't say I was particularly good, but I really like to do it, and I don't often get the chance to have an whole hour to take photographs, so I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be quite a treat, so just to do nothing else but take photographs for that amount of time. It'll be fun.
You were talking earlier on about your children. You've got three young children.
Yes. Yeah, a bit of a handful. So I have a daughter, Ruth, who's going to be 5 next week. My son, Peter, is coming up 4, and then baby Seth is nearly 1. So they know I've come up to London today, but they don't know what I've come up to do. So my husband's going to go online later on when I'm up there to show them what's going on, but whether they'll have the faintest idea what's going on, I don't know, but at least they'll see me, and hopefully they'll think that's fun.
What does your husband think?
So, he's quite scared of heights, so I think he thought I was a bit mad to want to do it, but he also knows I like taking photographs, so he wasn't surprised that was what I said I wanted to do up there. He was interested in it, but there was no way he was wanting to apply to go up and do it himself, so, which is actually a reaction I've had from most people I've told. Lots of people, they either hadn't heard of it at all, or the ones that had were very interested to find that they knew someone who was going up, but I haven't met anyone else who had applied to go up or who even wanted to apply to go up, so, which I'm intrigued by, because my initial thought when I heard about it was, oh, got to apply to see that, that's fantastic. But obviously not everybody thinks the way I do, so I was quite puzzled by that. But I think the fear of heights thing seems to have put a lot of people off, so, or just not knowing what they would do when they were up there. But
that wasn't a problem for you, because you knew what you were going to do.
Well, as soon as I heard about it, I thought, yeah, that would be a great place to take pictures. So, you know, I didn't have to dither about for ages, panicking when I got my place, wondering what I was going to do. So, although I see from looking at other people's profiles, that does seem to have been a common problem. There's a lot of people who've written, not sure yet what I'm going to do, but sure, I'll think of something. So, I wouldn't, if I had not known what I wanted to do, I don't think I would have applied. So, because I'm not sort of doing it for, as a kind of performance exhibition type of thing. I'm doing it to sort of as a unique opportunity to be in a unique space for my personal enjoyment, so rather than to amuse anybody else. So doing it for purely selfish reasons and treating it as a good tourist opportunity, I think. So
what do you do when you have time to yourself?
Can I remember having time to myself? So I've just taken up knitting, actually, so I'm doing a lot of knitting at the moment. So wish I'd thought of doing it earlier, actually, so I'm finding it really sort of relaxing and therapeutic.
What are you knitting?
Mostly cardigans for my children. Fortunately, they're small enough now to not mind having hand-knitted stuff, so I'm sure when they get older they won't want to know. But and I've got no shortage of opportunities to knit cardigans at the moment, so I'm enjoying it. I'd learnt to knit when I was very small, but haven't really done it for ages, and I never got very good and couldn't read a pattern or anything, so... But I've actually found it's really not that difficult once you've figured out how to read the pattern and things. So yeah, that's my newest hobby. Otherwise, what do I like to do? I read quite a lot. Used to go to cinema before I had children, but I don't get to do that much anymore. I like to cook, although I don't...
What sort of food do you like to cook?
All sorts of things, actually. I did have a very extensive collection of recipe books, kind of foreign stuff and old historic things that I find in old junk shops and things sometimes. So I probably spend more time looking through them for recipes than I do actually cooking stuff out of them. So, there's not often time to cook the things that I would like to cook. But anything that looks vaguely unusual and interesting and that I know I could get the ingredients for, I'd kind of give it a go. So
you've got some old ones.
I've got all sorts of odd things. There's old things that are sort of genuinely old. I've got an old Mrs. Beaton. It's not a first edition, but it's quite a long time back. And then you find other things that kind of get reprinted. Some of the more famous Roman cookbooks get reprinted and things like that. So old Victorian things. Yeah, some of it's quite nice and some of it's really awful, and you think, well, I've just wasted all afternoon making this. So yeah, that's kind of more interesting as a reading matter rather than as recipes, actually, to be honest. So the problem with Roman recipes is that they didn't tend to write down the quantities, so modern cooks have kind of tried to adapt them and actually make the recipes work, but they're so different compared to modern taste that the results aren't always very palatable.
Can you expand on
them? Yeah, they use a lot of fish sauce for flavourings and a lot of honey as well, so the whole anything that's sweet tends to taste of honey, so that makes it a bit different to modern taste when you're used to things being sweetened with sugar. And the fish stuff is quite overpowering and it's kind of different from having things flavoured with salt and pepper and things, and the herbs they used were kind of not necessarily the kind of herbs that you would cook with today as well. They tended to use a lot more of the kind of aniseedy type, like dill and fenugreek and things like that. So I think if you got used to it, it'd probably be perfectly fine, but it's a bit odd if you come to it kind of from nothing at the moment, just eating modern food, you think, oh, it tastes a bit different. So it's not awful, but it's certainly a whole different kind of taste.
Did you manage to persuade your family to eat
yours? Yeah, no, it's normally just my husband and I cook. So my husband likes to cook as well, so we just try stuff out on each other at the weekends and things.
How would you describe yourself as a person?
I'm quite quiet and I wouldn't say shy, although people often tend to think I am. I'm just kind of quite reserved, not particularly extrovert. So lots of people have been surprised that I'm taking part in this project because they think everyone's going up there to do performancey stuff, but obviously I'm not. So yeah, I'm very organised and punctual and all the kind of things that annoy other people if they're not organised and punctual and that kind of thing. So I go around them, not bossing people about, but I'm always the person that's making sure everybody's on time for things and stuff like that. So yeah, and tidying up after people, I end up doing quite a lot as well. So am I reserved? Yeah, I probably am. Most people who know me was quite reserved, I would think. I say things, I think I've got something worth saying. I don't just talk away for the sake of chattering, like I think some people tend to do. So that's why people tend to think I'm quite quiet, I think, because I don't say something unless I think it's worth saying and I think someone's going to want to hear it. So I'm not the kind of person who necessarily likes the sound of their own voice. So in fact, doing an interview like this is quite unusual for me to be doing so much talking in such a short amount of time, actually. So yes, definitely.
How does it feel?
It's quite strange, actually. I'm having to think ahead a lot about what I'm going to be saying because I'm not used to, you know, I normally think about something and say it and then would spend some more time thinking before I said something else. So yeah, it's actually quite hard work, but interesting experience though, nonetheless. So.
Is there anything I should like to say?
No, I don't think so, other than the fact that I'm really, really looking forward to this. So I've been looking forward to it since my name got picked out and I still can't quite believe my luck. So.
Great, thank you very much.